Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationedmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
Oh, I'm so excited I could crush a grape. I could take a piece of toilet tissue and rip it like this in one go. Good morning. Everybody happy here? Fantastic. I know what you're thinking. My God, he looks like Johnny Depp. I know. Do you know when I get it all the time? I go through airports. No. It's just a cross I have to bear here. It's great to be with one, the most crazy pastor I've met for a long time, Dennis the Menace, right here. And he... And his sexy rock chick wife, Leslie. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you. He said sexy. I did. Get over it. But it is great to be here. And I know also what you're thinking. I know. I don't work out. This is natural. I got a friend in Africa. I mean, he's in the gym all the time. He's got muscles on his teeth. And he's sitting in the front row. And I said to his congregation when I was there, I said, see your pastor there. I said, with all the muscles, I said, that is synthetic. This is organic. But it is a joy. Did you enjoy that song, Have a Little Faith? In fact, if you... I got an album here with that style of music on it. It's called Grace to the Rescue. It's the first album I've recorded in 20 years. And the reason I recorded it is because something radical has happened to my life in the last 10 years. The Lord said to me when I transitioned the church, Ray, I'm going to send you out into my body. He said, the biggest form of slavery on planet Earth today is in my church. And he said, I'm anointing you and sending you out as an abolitionist to my church. An abolitionist is someone who delivers somebody from slavery. And he said, my people are worshiping me in chains. And he showed me the children of Israel, 400 years worshiping Yahweh in chains. Well, I had a revelation of the gospel of the grace of God 10 years ago. I've been in the ministry now. In fact, I helped Noah build the ark. Dennis was with me. We had a great time. And I always thought I was a preacher of the grace of God until a revelation hit my heart. I used to preach grace a lot. Now I preach grace alone because it is the only message that can set people free to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus has. So that's why I recorded this album. Also, get the advertising out of the way. I have a USB here. If you like what you hear this morning, there's 10 hours of teaching here. And I'm so excited about this USB because so many people are finding that there are areas in their life that they need deliverance from and set free. Get that. It's called Grace Alone, 10 hours of teaching. But I want to pick up from where I left off yesterday morning. We had an awesome time. It was like feeding time at Edmonton Zoo yesterday. It was wonderful. And I want to carry on. I want to talk to you about the wonder of grace. Because if you understand the grace of God, you don't understand the grace of God. Because it's beyond belief. It's far above all that you can ask or even imagine. And I was preaching in Australia last November. And they give me a beautiful, by the way, thank you for the accommodation this weekend, Dennis. The tent was amazing. And waterproof. So I appreciate that. And he came personally every morning with some bread and some water and some fish. I've never known such hospitality. Anyway, so I'm preaching in this pastor's conference in Australia, and I'm on the 8th floor, room 826. And I have my own private balcony, and I'm finished the meeting, and I'm sitting there having a cappuccino, looking up at the Australian starry sky. I'm on the 8th floor with a private balcony, sitting on a chair, and then I felt something rub up against my legs. On the 8th floor, I'm thinking, now just keep looking straight forward here. It's fine. You're not having a flashback from the 60s. I thought too much of this in the 60s. I thought I'm having a flashback here. No, because it can't happen. You know what I'm saying? So I kept, and then after a couple of seconds, this thing started weaving in and out my legs. So I had the guts to look down, and this is what I saw. If you go, that's what I saw. Don't say, oh, it frightened the crap out of me. I'm telling you now. I was terrified. A white rabbit on the 8th floor. I'm thinking, if this thing's asked me the time, I'm jumping off the flipping balcony here. A white rabbit. So I got up. I did my Navy SEAL walk along the thing. And I went in and I phoned reception. Hello, Mr. Bevan, how can we help you? I said, there's a white rabbit on my balcony. There was a pregnant pause. And this patronizing voice said, okay. It's gone. So I said, no, there's a white rabbit. And I said, what do I do? And they said, just leave it alone, Mr. Bevan. I said, okay. I went back out. The rabbit had gone. Can you please switch that off? Just give me nightmares. Off. The rabbit had gone. There we are. So now I had to go and preach in a pastor's conference, wondering, am I hallucinating? And I'm preaching on God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. The devil was on the field day with me. Sound mind? What about the rabbit? What about the rabbit? Finally, we discovered that two doors up, this couple had a pet rabbit. And it had escaped, got under a little gap in my balcony, and somehow took a liking to me. How many of you know that was a wonderful relief for me to know that I'm not that insane? It's just slightly insane, but not that insane. I don't know about you, but when I have experiences like that, I don't know whether it's my sense of humor, but I always ask the question, God, is there a lesson here? Are you doing something? How many of you know God has a sense of humor? Ladies, look at your husband. Come on. Give me a break. I mean, God has got a sense of humor. And do you know what? I said, Lord, and do you know what he said to me? He said, Ray, my grace is like that. My grace will turn up at the most unlikely times, in the most unlikely places, to surprise the most unlikely people. And I don't know where you've come from this morning. I don't know who you are, what background you are. But I do know this. Somebody was waiting for you here this morning to surprise you with his love and his blessing and his healing. Come on, somebody say amen here. And his name is Jesus. And you know, the one thing, I love this translation. There's one translation of grace, and I love it. It means joyful surprise. Grace is joyful surprise. You know, my grace is the factor in my life that causes me to live my life surprised. With all my fears and my insecurities, I'm so surprised that God still uses me. With all my bad decisions and my failures, I'm surprised that somehow God takes them all together and works them for my good. With all my refusals to forgive, and with all my refusals to show grace when I'm hurt or betrayed, I'm surprised that he always dispenses grace and forgiveness to me. Anybody understand what I'm saying here? And when I'm unfaithful in my service to him, I'm surprised that he's always faithful in his service to me. And this really gets me when I'm at my weakest, emotionally and spiritually and physically, and when I want to give up and when I want to give in, when life has just done it and I've had enough, when I'm at my weakest emotionally and spiritually and physically, I'm surprised he chooses those moments to display his greatest strength in my life. Aren't you glad for the wonder of the grace of God in our lives? And do you know what gets me? I love this. That there are two things I want to say this morning. Two things about the wonder of grace. And I believe that they will apply to your life. I'm surprised when life knocks me out, grace keeps counting until I get up. Imagine it's a boxing match. In the ring, we have a Christian fighting the devil, working out his destiny. And they're boxing, and the Christian is doing great. In the crowd, there are 10,000 Christians, and they're all cheering. Come on, Christian, give him one for me. And they're battling, and they're fighting, and Christian is doing great. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, the devil catches the Christian on the chin and smashes him on the canvas, and the referee begins the count. The crowd goes silent. One, two, three, four, five. Christian is out. The crowd are screaming. Get up, Christian. You can't give up now. You can't lose now. You can't let the devil win now. And the devil is strutting around the ring, sneering at the crowd. The referee carries on the count. Six, seven, eight. Nine, the crowd goes silent. The devil gets ready to punch the air in victory, and the referee shouts, 10, and there's no movement. The devil stands on the bottom row, and he sneers at the crowd, and he punches the air, and he says, easy, next. Then a shock of horror goes through the whole being of the devil as he hears this coming from the other side of the ring. 11, 12, 13, 14. Come on, somebody help me here. 15, 16, 17. And the devil runs over to the referee, who happens to be called Grace. And he says, hey, that's not fair. And Grace says, I know it's not fair, but I'm going to keep on counting till my servant gets up off the floor to finish. Come on, somebody help me. I'm going to keep on counting. You see, some of you here, you've come to the service this morning, and God bless you. You've come with a smile on your face, but with a heart that's broken. You've come here with a positive attitude in your mind, but your heart is shattered in a million pieces because you just don't know how to get up off the floor. Well, some of you may be on 6,750,406. Well, Grace has sent this little hobbit here from Wales to tell you 457. For he will keep on counting until you get up and finish what God has called you to do. And this could be the morning. And you know, yeah, give Jesus some praise. I'm preaching myself happy here. But you know, one of the biggest disappointments I find I have, and sometimes I don't know how this is, but there are times when you can actually get disappointed with God because he doesn't turn up when you expected him to turn up. And I just feel this morning that you are here and you're just hanging on. You're just hanging on. So life has just battered you and battered you and battered you, and you've cried to God, some of you for years, and your heart is you're just fighting this disappointment that you have because God didn't turn up when you expected him to turn up. Well, let me just say this, and I'll explain it in a moment. Oftentimes, the reason why God doesn't meet your expectations is because he wants to exceed them. Stay with me here. See, this is what grace does. Sometimes God doesn't meet your expectations because he has something far above all that you can ask or even imagine. Do I have some believers in the house? I mean, I love the story. I love the story of Lazarus. Oh, I mean, Jesus and Lazarus, Mary and Martha, he loved it there. It was like his second home. He'd do a ministry trip and turn up at Laz's house. And, you know, they'd watch Sky Sports together, get some pizza in. I mean, they just chilled out. Fabulous. He got some water, turned it into wine. And they had a great time. That was a joke. Anyway, he loved it there. He just loved it there. And so one day Jesus says, I'm going off on a ministry trip. So I don't know how long I'll be away. And while he was away, Lazarus had the flu or something. The Bible doesn't say what he had. I don't know why you're asking me what was wrong with Lazarus. I don't know. I know a lot, but I don't know. I don't know. Could have had a sinus problem. But anyway, Lazarus became sick. Is that okay? Shall we agree on that? Shall we? Right, so let's say he became sick, right? So he's sick. So Mary and Martha says, no problem. We'll just send for Jesus. We've seen him do this again and again and again. So they imagined Jesus coming, laying his hands on Lazarus and healing him. But Jesus did far above all that they could ask or even imagine. They text him, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Would you please come? Now, Jesus got the text, read it, showed it to the disciples, and the disciples said, okay, let's go. And Jesus said, no, we're staying here. So don't you just hate it when you send a text to a friend, you know they've received it because the two ticks have gone blue. You know what I'm saying? Even I know that. And so, and no reply. And so she sent another text, 4 emails and a pigeon. No reply. Just no reply. So now Jesus just did not respond. Jesus did not turn up on Mary and Martha's timetable. Jesus did not do what they imagined he would do. Jesus didn't turn up when expected. And that's where some of you are right now. So Laz gets sicker and sicker, and after a while, that's Welsh for he died. So he died, he snuffed it, dead. So now Mary and Martha are upset, Jesus nowhere to be seen. So they stuck him in the tomb. He's there 4 days, he's stinking. And on the 4th day, that's when the Jews believed the spirit actually left the body. So, watch this now. So, what was difficult is now impossible. And what was difficult in your life is now impossible. But grace turns up, not when it's difficult sometimes, but when it's impossible. Somebody help me in this place right here. So, watch this. So everybody's grieving. Lazarus. And so I'm trying to create the scene for you here. She's dead. And Mary and Martha. So who turns up when it's the worst possible time? Jesus turns up. Hey, what's up? Mary and Martha. What? Jesus, calm down, ladies. Calm. We can't calm down. We are women. You made us like this. We let them. So they're ranting and they're venting. And Jesus is going, calm down. Mary. I'm trying my best here to take you to the scene. I want you to smell Lazarus. Mary?
Yeah.
Calm down. Martha?
What?
Now, don't have that attitude. Calm down. If you can believe, you will see something that will blow your mind. You will see something that is far above all that you can ask or imagine. And they go, Then Jesus, he's so cool. Roll the stone away. What? You insane? He's been in there. He's stinking. The smell will kill us. Roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. Then he shouts in a loud voice. I want to tell you, grace shouts louder than any voice that's shouting at you, trying to rob you of life and joy and peace. Grace will always shout louder than... Come on, somebody say amen. And he shouts loud. He shouts in a loud voice, Lazarus, get out here. And it was like, do you know what? There's a reason why Jesus had to name him. If he had said, dead person, every single dead person within the sound of his voice, it would have been like Thriller before its time. Come on, because he is the resurrection and he is the life. And when he speaks, and I believe with all of my heart that Jesus wants to speak into dead situations here. And all you have to do is believe. But Ray, what about my behavior? What about it? It's not about your behavior. It's about what he did 2,000 years ago. And so many people walk around with a guilt complex thinking, well, Jesus won't help me because of what I did 20 years ago. I want to tell you, when Jesus died on the cross, all your sins were forgiven, past, present, and future. And he's here to give you life. Come on, somebody, give him praise right here. Oh, yeah. I'm surprised when religion says, this is what you must do for me. Grace turns up and says, what do you want me to do for you? And I'm telling you right now, right here, there are so many needs in this room. But the biggest need that you have is to actually connect with this wonderful Savior called Jesus. But for so long, the church has been a place where a guilty preacher has been telling a guilty congregation how to feel more guilty. For too long, religion has made the church a place where you go to be battered and go away feeling guilty. Well, I want to tell you, grace has turned up. Grace and truth has turned up. Jesus has turned up. I am so glad that Jesus is here. He stands here and he stands before every single one of us and says, what do you want me to do for you? And immediately we go into, what have I got to do to get it? Because that's what religion says. Religion says, you see, I shared yesterday, that you need two elements for religion to work. An angry God and a guilty conscience. And so we go round in circles all the time, trying to appease an angry God, knowing we can't, feeling guilty, and around and around and around we go. And so we think we've got to do something in order for God to bless us. I'm telling you, there was a blind man. Jesus was standing before a blind man, and he simply said this to him, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And I can imagine the religious people shouting, Jesus, you can't say that. He's not been to church. He's not a tither. He's a taker. All his life, he's just taken from people. And Jesus said, shut up. Shut up. Grace always says, shut up to religion. And he looks at Bartimaeus and he says, Bartimaeus, don't listen to them. What do you want me to do for you? No conditions. No conditions. And I'm preaching this in my church in Wales. Jonah came from Wales. What a rubbish joke that was. There's somebody on the back thinking, did he? No, it's a joke. So I'm preaching in my church on blind Bartimaeus and Jesus saying, what do you want me to do for you? In the middle of my preaching, a lady gets up from the back. She stands in the aisle, just stands in the aisle, and I'm preaching. And I'm preaching away, and then she stands in the aisle, and then she starts walking down the aisle like this. And I'm thinking, where's security? Could be a terrorist or something, I don't know. And I'm preaching, she comes right down to the front. She walks around the front of the stage, and I'm preaching here. She walks up the steps. And I thought, where is security here? It could be some crazy woman with an axe. I don't know. And she walks up, and I'm preaching, and she walks like this, and she stops right here. She's standing here. Abiola, I'm preaching. I says, oh, hello. She says, oh, hello. I said, what's your name then? She said, my name is Joan. She said, what's your name? Oh, I said, my name is Ray. I said, I'm the preacher here. I'm preaching. I'm doing that right now, actually. I'm preaching. I said, Joan, excuse me asking, but what are you doing here? Now, my congregation are like, they're like, what is going on here now? So she said, Ray, funny you should ask me that. But she said, it's only the second time for me to come to this church. In fact, it's only the second time I've been to a church. I said, yeah, I gathered that. we have a feeding program in our church. Only a small church in Wales, and we feed over 200,000 people a year. We give out 2,000 food hampers a month. It's just a miracle. So, and it's called Jesus Cares. And so she said, Ray, my friend has been giving me these food parcels called Jesus Cares. And I kept having these food parcels. So I said to my friend, who's giving me these food parcels? And she said, my friend said to me, oh, it's the King's Church. Jesus lives there. What a compliment for any church. Jesus lives there. I was hoping she'd say there's a really good-looking pastor there who doesn't work out and looks like Johnny Depp. But no, he didn't say that. Jesus lives there. And that's what she said. This is going on the platform. So she said, Ray, I really felt I had to come to say thank you to Jesus for my food hampers. So that's why I came. And I came last week and I had to come again this week. I said, yeah, but why? You didn't have to come up here. You could have like wrote a letter or something. She said, no. She said, then I listened to you talk about Jesus because this is his house, so he's here. And you said that he is saying, what do you want me to do for you with no conditions? I said, yes. I said, well, she said, I haven't been able to walk without my walker for 3 years. So I said to Jesus, look, Jesus, I know you've given me a food hamper, but could you heal my legs then, please? And she said, Ray, this warmth went through my body. So she thought, I wonder if I can stand without my walker. So that's why I stood in the aisle. And I thought, I wonder if I can walk without my... So I started walking. And I didn't want to stop, Ray. I just didn't want to stop. And I'm walking, and I forgot where I was. And watch this. So she said, and then I saw the steps and I thought, I wonder if I can walk up them steps without my walk. And Ray, I walked up the steps and I'm walking and I would have gone further, but you got in the way, you're standing here, I didn't want to go around. And I said, Joan, that's amazing. I said, that is amazing. I said, and my congregation were like, what? And this was, and I said, Joan, you know what? Jesus doesn't actually live in the building. Never. No, he doesn't live in the building. He actually lives in the hearts of the people who come here. Never. Yeah. Yeah, and you know what, Joan? He wants to come home with you. Never. I said, yes. She said, how's that going to happen? I said, well, look, all of us here, we've said a very simple prayer. We've realized we can't do life without him. So what we did, Joan, Jesus came. He died on the cross to forgive us all our sins. And he rose from the dead. He's alive. And he wants to actually come and live inside your life to be your friend forever. Would you like that? Do you think he would? I said, yeah, he would. He will. Would you? Yes, please. I led her to the Lord. Right. In fact, before that, she said, well, I don't know. He's already given me a food hamper and healed my legs. So, yeah, I led her to the Lord right there. She got saved right there. And her face was beaming. And I said, Joan, how do you feel? She said, this is amazing. Jesus is coming home with me. I said, she said, Ray, can I speak to the people? So I gave her the mic. Saying, Jesus, I hope she doesn't cuss or anything like this, upset people. She took the microphone. One of the best messages I've ever heard in my life. You know, it's like when the religious leaders asked the blind man, how did it happen? Look, he says, I'm not a theologian. All I know is, once I was blind, now I can see. And she took the mic and she said, hello, everybody. My name is Joan. It's only the second time for me to come to church here. And I'm an awful person. You don't want to know about my life. But she said, Jesus has given me a food hamper, healed my legs. Now he's coming home with me. She said, why don't you lot do the same? Come on, somebody! Three cheers for Jesus. Hip, hip. Hip, hip. Hip, hip. Now give the Lord a big hand clap. Come on, somebody, and shout to him. Hallelujah. And I'll say, can I have the keyboard player up here right now? I want to say something right here. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is here right now. Do I have some people in the house that actually believe Jesus is alive and he's present in this house right here? I want you to, it's like this, right? It's like this. I love sci-fi movies. And I remember watching a Star Trek movie once. And the story was, this massive energy cloud was racing across the galaxies, eating up whole galaxies. And they called for Captain Kirk and Spock and the Enterprise team to go and find out and stop this angry cloud. So they got to the center of the cloud, and they found there was a big crater, and there was like a machine in the middle of the crater. And they realized this is the cause of this angry cloud racing across the universe. And so they got up to this machine and they brushed it down, and they saw that it was a NASA probe that had been sent from Earth hundreds of years before, but it had malfunctioned. And it was racing across the galaxies trying to find his creator. So there was a sign on there, and it said, in case of malfunction, punch in this code. So Captain Kirk just punched in the code. Doot, doot, boop. Was that you, Dr. Spock? No, it was... Okay. And you know what? He punched in the code. This is what happened. All that frustration. All that anger. All that... You know why? I found my creator. Captain Kirk has arrived in the body of Ray Bevan right here. Listen to me. And God, you see, have you ever wondered why that stuff in your life you can't sort of deal with? You can go down to pub, you can get smashed and have a couple of joints or whatever you want to do, or watch a movie or have another relationship, but you still wake up with that, who am I? Well, I'm here, sent by God, to punch in the code. This is the code. 4-3-1-6. The fourth gospel, the third chapter, the 16th verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, not behaves, believes, will have eternal life. And I believe across this auditorium right here, there are people that want to say, Ray, punch in the code. Ray, I'm going to allow God to punch in the code, because that's me. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what life is all about. But I'm so glad I came. And grace is going to do far above all you can ask or even imagine. I'd like you to bow your head. Close your eyes right across this building. Holy Spirit, thank you for your anointing today. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence in this house. Jesus, you are walking from seat to seat, from heart to heart. There are people that have come here this morning. Perhaps they've been battered by religion, perhaps full of guilt, and don't know how to deal with it. Jesus, thank you that you are here. And Jesus stands here and he says, what do you want me to do for you? And if you are here, say, Ray, I want to do what Joan did. I want Jesus to come home with me, really come home with me in my heart. If that's you, I'm going to count to three, okay? And I'm going to pray a prayer like this. Jesus, I receive forgiveness for all my sin. Come into my life. I'm going to pray a prayer like that in a moment. Very simple. If you want to be included in that prayer, when I count to three, all I want you to do is raise your right hand. I'm not going to call you to the front or anything. But I want to see if there's someone out here that says, Ray, this message was for me, and I really need to respond to this. So if you want to receive Jesus into your heart, just like Joan, if you want God to punch in the code and say, come on, Jesus, I receive eternal life. When I count to three, I want you to raise your right hand, keep it up for a few moments, and then I'll pray. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Could you raise your hand up high? High, 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 high. My God, there's hands going up. Keep your hands up. Wonderful, wonderful. There's scores of hands in the center. There's scores of hands on my right-hand side. There are hands going up on my left. Father, you see all these people, these wonderful people that are responding like children to you. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that right now an angel is taking a pen, dipping it in the blood of Jesus and writing their names in the Lamb's book of life forever and ever and ever. Lord, I entrust them into your safekeeping, and I give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.